Good afternoon. So in today's gospel, Jesus uses something called a metaphor. And the way I was taught what a metaphor is if I were to say that my wife, Toni, is the light of my life. I don't mean that she's shaped like a light bulb and I have to plug her in every night. But I mean that she gives me joy and she gives me light and she gives me happiness that I cannot get from anyone else. That's a metaphor. So Jesus uses this idea of water as a metaphor for a deeper teaching. Now at first, the Samaritan woman doesn't get it, right? Hey, give me this water. I'll never have to go back to the well. This is great. But then Jesus tries to explain to her that the living water he will give is going to well up to eternal life. And I was thinking of the water in this cistern, Jacob's well. A cistern is really just a big hole in the ground that water collects. Rainwater collects in this well, in this bucket underground. And it's a stagnant water. It just sits there until someone draws it. But it's just lying there. The water is just blah. It's not flowing. It's not moving. It's just lying there. And you have to keep going back to this well in order to satisfy your thirst. And in a sense, that's a metaphor for the things of this world. Because there are lots of things in the world that we pursue that are just stagnant and need to be constantly replenished. Because we are convinced that we will be obtaining happiness if we get the iPhone 17, because it has the camera of all cameras. And it can go to an app for me just thinking about it, without even having to touch the screen or whatever it is. And then when we get the iPhone 17, we'll say, you know, but we should have got the iPhone 18 because it works XYZ feature, whatever it is. It's not enough. It doesn't satisfy our thirst. It's not living water. Or we see a vehicle. Oh, I want to get that truck. I want to get that truck because it has a touch screen and Apple Play and Android this and whatever. But next year, oh, the trucks are going to have anti this and safety that. It's not satisfying. It's stagnant. We have to constantly draw water from this stagnant well. But when we come to recognize the living water that comes from knowing Jesus better, this is the water that satisfies. This is the water that you never have to keep going back to because it's always flowing and there's always more of it. And no matter how much we draw upon Jesus, he's still there. We never use him up. We never empty his well. His spring is always flowing. Then we find that the things of Christ and the things that are spiritual are the only things that matter, are the only things that will satisfy us. When we come to that realization, we will have the happiness that we used to seek by getting the new phone, new truck, and the 100th pair of shoes, and the 500th dress. That doesn't satisfy, but Jesus' spirit in us does. How do we access this spirit, this living water? How do we get it? Well, Jesus tells us we must worship God in spirit and in truth. So we have to worship him in spirit. What does that mean? It means when we come to Mass, we're not zoning out. We're not thinking about whether we're going to go to Five Guys or Witch on the way out. But we're paying attention to what's happening and we're trying to experience God's word in us in a way that will transform us and live our lives more in compliance with what God wants of us. Our spirit is in it. We want to do it. We don't do it because we have to. And I get a feeling most of us here are here because we want to, because the sign on the door says we don't have to. But we want to. We want in that spirit of growth in spirituality to pursue the things of Christ and not pursue the things of the world and realize that those things fail to satisfy. And then we have to worship him in truth. We get the truth from, of course, the sacred scriptures. When we hear the scriptures proclaimed in Mass, do they affect us? Can we remember the next day what it was? Well, never mind what the bald-headed guy was flapping his gums about, but what was the actual gospel? Do you remember? It was something good. Is that the truth? Are we pursuing truth enough to reflect on the scripture, to go home and read it again, to go home and pray about it again? the truth that we need to live the life of Christ, or the truths that the church teaches. Truths that are sometimes, if Vice President Al Gore will forgive me, inconvenient truths. The inconvenient truths that tell us that anyone who has had an abortion or helps to procure one is committing mortal sin. That anyone who misses Sunday Mass without a dispensation is committing a mortal sin. Inconvenient truths that we'd rather ignore. But if we embrace the truths of Scripture and the teachings of the church, we will see Christ at work in us, that the living water that satisfies will well up within us. And it's a lifelong process to learn these things and develop that living water within us. But it's so much better. The life is so much better. Because in this scary time, in this worrisome time, in this invisible invader that we call COVID-19, we're scared. It's weary. It's worrisome. It's weird. You know, I was teasing the Jeff, the reader, I said, when you read today's lectionary, make sure you don't read with your eyes because you're liable to catch the virus. I was kidding. But it's a scary time, so it's a time for us in Lent, and because of this virus scare, to really consider what's important in life, to really consider where we want to draw our water from, a stagnant well of the world, or the living water that comes from knowing Christ. May all of us come to know him better through our reflections in Lent, through our understanding of the Bible and the teachings of the church, so that we can know what matters, ignore what does not, and be prepared for the eternal life that we have been promised. God bless you.